All right, this is one of the most unique Sundays of the year here. One of the things that we do at the very end of the year, last Sunday of the year, is we do a year in review. And I want to promise you, this is just a scratch of the surface of all the things that we were able to do this last year. And I hope it's an opportunity just for you to be reminded about some of the good things that you learned, and also just be reminded about some of the really, really outstanding things that happened here in our church throughout the year. So before we start, let's pray and give God thanks for this last year and the things that we got to experience because of his faithfulness and his grace. God, it's always a great opportunity, not only just to reflect back over the last year, think about all the amazing things that happened in our life and in our church, but it's also a good opportunity, Father, for us to just take stock of what our lives look like and what it means to go forward into this next year with you really being at the center of who we are and what we do. So I ask, Father, that both we'd have a great time of both reflection together this morning, but also an opportunity to think and reflect on what it looks like for us to make you the center of what we're doing in the year 2020. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, one of the things I like to do to start our year in review is I like to remind you of how long you were subject to sit in here and listen to us preach on Sunday. So just out of curiosity, how many of you think that Dan was the longest? I'm always curious, you know, when Dan preaches on Sunday morning, how many folks come in here with their pillows? So part of what I do is I go back through because we have all of our messages from the last year on our webpage. So I go back through and I look at all of them, take notes from some of them, and you'll see we'll look at some of the things that we learned together this last year. But I also look at the times to see how long you were subject to sitting in here. So Corbett was not the longest, right? And so was it me or Dan? What do you think?
Yeah.
Well, a few of you, I can hear those Dan voices. And it was Dan. Dan had... And check this out. This is what's so crazy about this. Easter is the one Sunday where we get all these visitors in here. You want to keep it short. And Dan insisted on putting people to sleep with his resurrection message. We may have needed a little bit of resurrection help on that day also. 55 minutes, Dan. I was looking at the web, and so like I look from the end of the year back. And so late in the year, I had a message that was 51 minutes. And I thought, I'm in it. And it took me all the way back to Easter before Dan finally came through and alleviated me of that shame of being the longest. Okay, who was the shortest? So I'll tell you, one of the things I do is I look at the averages of our time. I add up all the time. This year was the shortest amount of time. Our messages just were under 43 minutes, believe it or not, was the average for the year, which is by far the shortest amount of time that we've done on average Sunday. In fact, we had like 9 messages that were under 40 minutes. So Dan was not the shortest, although I have to give you credit because you had a lot of short messages this year. So I don't know if they were good or not, but they were short, right? So that's not a bad thing. It wasn't Corbin, it was me. So a message with a very long title: How the True Story of a Lost Ark Helps Us Discover the Real God. And that took half the message right there just to get through the title, 36 minutes long. So how many series do you think we did this last year? Hold up your hands. You might have to use your toes also. 3, 4, 5. I got a 6. I got a 5. I got another 6. 9. People in the back, you don't vote. There's like 2 of you voting in the back there. You don't like to have fun on Sunday mornings. I get it. Yeah, so we started the year in the book of Luke, and then we did just a really short series in Daniel, a little bit longer series talking about people that have these great conversations or debates with Jesus. And then the second half of the year, we did the series about what does it look like for us to draw near to God. We did a whole bunch of Old Testament passages in there. We spent a lot of time towards the end of the year in the fall doing an examination of sort of the fundamentals of our faith, the basic things that makes Christianity what it is. And we wrapped up the series by looking at Jesus of the prophets, which was a whole different way of looking at the Christmas story, which was great. So six. I want to tell you this next year, the majority of the year, we're going to be doing just one book, and it's from the New Testament. We're going to be spending the vast majority of the year looking at the life of Jesus from the book of John. And so super excited already looking at some of those messages that we're going to be diving into over this next year. So I was talking to Dan this morning. He came into my office, and he was talking about the history of how many years Sierra Community Church has been in town and in the neighborhood. And believe it or not, we've been in this remodeled building for 20 years this year. It'll mark 20 years. Is that hard to believe? Yeah. One of the reasons that I think that you don't think about that, or you don't think about the longevity of this building, is because the people that take care of this building week in and week out do an incredible job. I mean, most of you, do you ever come to any event here during the week, ever? And do you go, gosh, I wonder who moved the chairs around. I wonder who cleaned the carpet. I wonder who set up the AV stuff. You never come in here for anything, and it's not ready to go. And that happens because we have this amazing crew of people that work here during the week, and the vast majority of them are under the age of 20 years old and have been for years. In fact, there's a whole bunch of kids that grew up here cleaning and working hard to make our building the place that it is. It's one of the things that we absolutely love about our property and about our building is how hard these people work to keep it clean and ready to go for you guys. So all of some of you have grown up in here doing this stuff, and to all the kids that make this stuff happen for us, unsung group of people that work, you know, I mean, all these things that people do that we just don't even think about or appreciate that help make Sierra this amazing place it is. All right, well, it really is a treasure for me to go back to the webpage and look at some of the messages and think about some of the things that we learned together over this last year. So the very first message that we did in the book of Luke, Dan preached, I think it was January 2nd, and Dan asked this question. He said, did Jesus, like, did he really know that he was God, or did he like grow into it, or did he figure that out? And Dan did a great job answering this question. And so one of the quotes that he had was Joachim Jeremias, and he said, he came to understand this. He said he came to the conclusion that when Jesus said to God, Abba, Father, he was the first person in the history of the world to ever address God in such a profoundly personal way. He said, look, you have nothing like this in any other religion. Not in the East. You don't have anything like this in Judaism in the Old Testament. And you certainly don't have anything like this in Islam. This idea that Jesus had this absolutely profound connection to the Father. And he relied on it through his whole life. And that was a great way for us to start off the year thinking about Jesus and just who he was and what his relationship to the Father was like. Drawing on that idea, I want to take you to one of the very last messages of the year. Dan did this message on December 1st. He kicked off this series for us about Jesus and the prophets. And he looked at the Old Testament book of Hosea. Now, if you know this book, it's a story about a guy who has an adulterous wife, and God tells him, be faithful to her anyways. Now, when I saw this, I thought, what in the world could this have to do with Christmas, right? What a stretch. And he kicks off the message by making something that I thought was an absolutely audacious claim to make. In his research, he found this. This pastor James Boyce said this about this book of the Bible. He said this in his sermon on Hosea in chapter 3, Boyce titled this, the greatest chapter in the Bible. And I remember thinking, when I'm sitting in the very back there, I'm thinking, Dan, I know the Bible pretty well, and there's a lot of amazing stuff in there. You've got a long ways to go to convince me that that's even, you know, a little bit plausible. And he absolutely nailed it. I don't know if you remember him, but he did a fantastic job talking about how compelling that story is when you think about God, his faithfulness, and what he longs for us to live in a faithful commitment to Him. So he the illustration there is obviously a profound one, but one that we're not that's not foreign to any of us, thinking about marriage and how marriage really is supposed to be that intimate thing that shapes so much of our lives. And so he talked about his correlation between our marriages that we're supposed to experience, the joy and the challenge, and how our spouse is supposed to play this profound role in our life of helping us become everything that God intended it for us to be. Now, I know one of the reasons marriage is so hard is because we've rarely experienced that, but that is God's absolute goal for us in life. And so Dan talked about how do you measure that kind of intimacy, and he gave us these three P's that still today stick in my head. He says that real intimacy only happens when you really know someone. You're not like strangers. You're not like ships passing that just happen to live together as roommates. One of the things I love about our church is, when we talk on Sunday mornings, I think that we do a reasonable job here of just being who we are, the good, the bad, and the ugly of our lives. But Dan has pointed out a number of times that one of the things that makes this pastoral staff unique is that God has blessed us with not easy, but rich marriages, that we experience this profound thing that God intended marriage to be about. And we are truly blessed in that regard. And Dan talked about what it looks like for him and his wife, Taz, to really know each other and the joy that they find from that and the challenges that they experience of this. So, if you're really going to have intimacy in your life, with your spouse or with God, it's not just about knowing the right information about them, but you have to be close in proximity with them, right? And the last thing he talked about is in that proximity, being close, you have to be humble and open to allowing the other person or God to help shape you. And that's so difficult to do. But man, oh man, was that powerful. Marriage is a difficult thing. And one of the things that we've tried to do here is try to provide tools that help people to be able to experience what marriage is all about. And so this last year in the fall, we did this great 10-week class that Dan Moore facilitated for us, using this book and this video series that I think is absolutely one of the best resources you'll ever get in marriage, as a book by Eggerich. And I think this next spring, later on in the year, we're going to do it again because so many people not only enjoyed it, but it was life-changing for them in so many ways. So we're excited about that. All right. It's always interesting to be about the things that like people get really excited about. Like what draws people out? What are they going to show up for? So we're sitting in staff meeting, and Lori Mason, who runs our children's ministry here, she says, this last year we've been talking about defending our faith and helping our kids be prepared to give an answer for why they believe what they believe. And she said, I want to help families be able to learn how to do some of this stuff. So she said, I'm gonna put together this apologetics thing for families at our church. And we're like, okay, where do you want to do it? How many people do you think are going to come? And she's like, I don't know. I've got a couple of good teachers that are going to help me out put this together. We'll do it in the little house. And we realized very quickly that was not going to work. And we filled up the front of this auditorium with 60 to 80 people for like 10 or 12 weeks and capped it off by this great simulcast for families. And we had more than 100 people show up for it. That is a great opportunity. This is one of the neat things our church provides, and you just never know year from year what is going to really resonate with people. This was a great opportunity to help facilitate and prepare families to be able to answer some of the hardest questions that you'll face in life. So talking about things that resonate with people, last year at this time, I said, hey, I've got this trip, and I'm wondering if anybody wants to go with me. And I said, I wanted to go to Israel. And so we worked hard to put together this trip. This was the first time we talked about it, was in here. And we ended up with 54 people that went to Israel, which I figured, hey, maybe we'll get 10, 15, 20 people tops. And it was a trip of a lifetime, man. It was incredible. And not only did we get to see, I mean, obviously go to Israel, the things you get to see and experience are there. You'll just never, you will never, ever read the Bible the same ever again. Just incredible opportunity. But part of what made this trip so rich was it was an amazing group of people. Huge group, but an amazing group of people from our church. And it was just, it was amazing. In January, we told you we were going to do this, kind of like give you guys an opportunity to sort of experience some of the things that we saw and did. So January, the last Monday night, I'm not sure if that's the 27th or what it is, at 6:15 in here, we're going to do a slide and video presentation for about an hour and 15, hour and a half. Kind of walk you guys back through, people that want to relive or see or experience some of the things that we got to see. Paul, who helped guide our trip, is doing a trip in November, and he invited us to go with him. So if anybody's interested in going, he's going to go to Turkey, do the seven churches of Revelation, and then go to Israel. And he invited us to go. So if there's anybody that's interested that didn't get to go this last year, you want to go, just shoot me an email or call me, and I'll make sure we figure out how to get you on that trip this next year as well. All right. One of the great things we get to celebrate almost every year, but it's always a different group of people, is the baptisms here. And this is a picture from our baptisms at our church picnic. And then just a couple of weeks ago, we had another opportunity. We did this on a Monday night. It was a great opportunity just to really spend a little more time hearing the stories of the people and what God has done in their life, and bringing them and their excitement about what God has done and wanting to share it with other people. So all of you that got baptized this last year, thank you for sharing your stories. And welcome to our family. We're excited to have you guys as a part of it. So we ask you from time to time, we say, hey, there's this project that we're doing. You want to help us out, pull something off. And it's always different. So we have a dentist in our church that did a trip to Guatemala and said, hey, I want to put a box in the lobby to collect toothbrushes and toothpaste. Oh, all right. So Leanne Genesi went down there and she was looking to take some. I put this box out there and it was about like this big by this big. And like before, we put it out in the email what we were doing. And before Sunday came around, we filled up that box like four times. And I thought, I'm going to need a bigger box. And we filled up box after box. I'm just amazed at the generosity you guys display. Everything we do, same thing happened. Nick, our local food bank, the hardest time of the year for them is in the summer. So Nick got a barrel from them. We put it in the lobby. And I thought, this would be great if we can fill this thing up. And that first Sunday, we filled it up 1.5 times. And just over the course of 3 weeks, we filled it up like 5 times. So just I'm always amazed at how you guys are so generous in so many ways. We had the opportunity this last year to do a really profoundly important service project for a nonprofit group in our community. And we got to do landscaping, and the material for it was all donated for us to be able to do it. All of the materials for being able to do the painting showed up for us. And we had a great group of people show up to be able to do this service project for this great nonprofit group in our community. So thank you guys for your generosity in so many different ways. This series was so much fun to do because these conversations are so challenging that people have with Jesus. And this was probably the most, this was the funnest thing for me to go back over in the last week and a half, just kind of looking at these messages. So many fun things in there. The one that stuck out to me, though, was Dan on June 16th. He answered this question. He says, why earthly things are no match for eternal things? One of the illustrations he used in there was talking about Steve Jobs' life. And Steve Jobs had this interesting quote near the very end of his life. And so you think about Steve Jobs, he was a pretty outspoken, secular, and agnostic guy until he gets to the end, right? So sometimes I believe in God, sometimes I don't. I think it's 50-50 maybe. But ever since I've had cancer, I've been thinking about him more and more. And I find myself believing a bit more. Maybe it's because I want to believe in an afterlife, that when you die, it doesn't just all disappear. The wisdom you've accumulated, somehow it goes on. You know, is this not true for everybody? In fact, almost every funeral you go to, even for people that are hardened atheists, nobody wants to get to the end and go, none of this matters. We all want to believe that life really does have a meaning, and that there is an opportunity for us to be able to face God and to be able to enjoy Him for a long time. And we got to celebrate this year at our church the life of some people that did pass on, and the hope that Steve Jobs scratched at, these people all had a robust faith and belief in the goodness of God, and the belief that because of their trust in Jesus, who He was, and what He did for them by dying on the cross, that they could experience that life afterwards. Marty was a long-time faithful member of our church, dearly missed. Rich Padilla, Sid, Carolyn, just a couple weeks ago, Denny. Hard to say goodbye to these great people. One of the things that stuck out to me most from this last year was, was at Sid's funeral that several of the kids and people that knew him well, he was married for 49 years to Mary. And they extolled Sid's faithful love for his Mary. Several of them said, there's just no one like my Mary. So good to see how Jesus shaped each one of these people's lives. I hope that just taking a minute and thinking about this in your own life, about how important it is for you to put your faith and trust in Jesus and who He is, what He's done for you on the cross, but also to allow Jesus not just to shape your life when you die, but right now also. Like each one of these people, you could see how Jesus marked their lives in faithful ways. It's great to be able to celebrate all stages of life. One of the things that is so fun at our church are the things that happen downstairs in our children's program on Sunday morning, Sunday school. Because a lot of you don't get the opportunity to go down there. But Mother's Day and Father's Day, they pulled off this amazing time to celebrate both moms and dads. And it was so cool. And if you missed it, you missed it. They did a great job celebrating. And that's just, you know, it's not even something you hear a lot about. But gosh, what a great job they do downstairs. So I told you earlier about the apologetics thing. So they put together these courtroom scenes in each one of the classrooms. This is why it really is worth going downstairs and seeing what's going on down there, because it really is one of the best things week in and week out that happens at our church is the children's program. You see Dr. Pervance playing the part of a judge up there, one of the shepherds giving testimony. The kids all had their notebooks and writing down the testimony to be able to keep track of what they're learning about. Is this stuff legit? Is it real? Does it matter? How should it shape our lives? And how can we help other people understand that this stuff about God really is true? Phenomenal. Talking about our children's ministry, you know this. If you've gone to a church for very long, our Vacation Bible School is out of the world. I mean, it's amazing. This year we had a huge challenge because Sierra Boulevard, our street out here, was torn up. And so we were like, what the heck are we going to do? What are the highlights of our year? What are we going to do? And a family in our church very graciously let us use their property up at the top of Echo Summit. And it was still amazing. Yeah, I mean, it was so good. And it really is a testimony to the faithfulness of our children's ministry and the staff and the job that they do all year long. It's amazing. Okay, I mentioned this earlier, but I just have to go back to it really quickly. You guys are so generous every week, helping fund the ministries that happen here. But you go above and beyond. And there's two great examples of this. So one is we raised almost $7,000 for our Navajo trip for our high schoolers to go out on the mission trip this last year. And then we do this project at the end of the year called Angel Tree. And it takes teams of people 7, 8, 9 days to wrap all the presents that you guys bring in for kids that very oftentimes otherwise would not have a Christmas. I'm blown. Our staff here, we love working here. We love partnering with you. And we are so thankful for your faithfulness every week here, guys. Thank you very, very much for helping make all the things that we get to do happen here. So weather is always a challenge in Tahoe, right? No matter what you do. And so this year we pulled off for the first time ever, I think. We did this kids fishing tournament and it was awesome, except it was like 14 degrees over the lake, right? They had to like scrape the ice away from the edge to be able to, I don't think it snowed on them, but sleeted on them over there at the Paradise Valley Park. That was a great, something new that we'd never done before. Another thing that happened that was totally unexpected this year was Dan preached a message, and he used this illustration from Robert Unger Boyd's book, Christ's Heart, My Home. So the next week, I filled in some of the gaps about that story. It's a short little booklet. And I said, hey, anybody that wants a copy of this, you know, week before I did the message, I thought, hey, people will probably want to see this because it was one of the first Christian things I ever read in my life. So I go into Amazon and I go, how many should I buy? I thought, I'll be ambitious. And I bought 50 of them. And they were gone like that. And I thought, maybe we could get another 50. So I told people the next week, we'll have more for you. So I thought, I'll get 100 just in case that we will have plenty for the rest of the year, people want to get them. 100, gone. Another 50, gone. John had me get another 100. We got rid of like 350 of those books this year. So you just never know what's going to be good. But we have this great resource center in the back. And that book, I think we charge like $3 or $4 for. But the vast majority of the resources that are so good in that room are absolutely free, and it's open every day after church. Okay, I think it's supposed to like snow like just a tiny, tiny bit tonight, right? And this year has not been a prolific snow year yet. But do you guys remember last year? how does this happen all the time that the big snowstorms come in on Saturday night? It happens over and over and over again. So I opened one of the services joking about this, about what life in Tahoe was like, right? My favorite one that I put up there that people ask me to email them these things to you. Say, so El Dorado County Professional Firefighters on Facebook posted this. According to CHP, it's official that it's an hour faster to get to Disneyland from Placerville than to South Lake Tahoe today due to the snow and traffic conditions, right? We laugh, but it's true. And this year, not only did we have the snow to put up with, in the summer, you know, there's five seasons in Tahoe, you know, winter, spring, fall, spring, and road construction is the fifth season of the year in Tahoe. And so we were like, hey, we hope that people will still show up to church because you're not going to be able to park anywhere along here. It's going to be a disaster. And I don't know the postman slogan about, you know, neither hail, sleet, snow, whatever, dark of night. You guys are better than the postal service. You guys show up no matter what it's like out there. I don't think we can keep you away. Even if Dan is preaching 55 minutes, you show up the next week. So early in the year, one of the things that was hard was we considered canceling one of our core values classes because it was nasty trying to get here. And we do these core value classes that help people learn more about what our church is all about. And so so we do a 101, 201, 301, 401. And this is the first year that we've done all four of those classes because we haven't had a 401 in a long, long time. And we That's the list of graduates that we had this year for the four classes, which was awesome. And you can see after a bunch of those names that a lot of those people took the classes two or three times. Absolutely incredible. We're excited about these classes, and you guys show up for them. We do our best to make them fun, entertaining, and opportunities for us to discuss a lot of different things. And we'll have more of them this next, starting, I think, in February. We're going to have a 201 class for you. So keep track of the emails and our announcements. We'll tell you when those are coming up. Seniors, I talked about the seniors' lunch. Seniors do all sorts of fun things here at our church. This last year, they took this field trip down to Woodland to this Bible archaeology display that I heard from everybody that went on it. So I don't know when we will pull off another trip down there, but everybody said it was amazing. Okay, how many of you like the music on Sunday mornings here? What a gift Kristen has been and the musicians that do music here every week. So one of the things that Kristen put together is if you use the Spotify app to stream music, you can go on there, search. And so we never do this for this message, but I actually put notes in here today because there are a couple of resources I want you to be able to take advantage of. So this is one of them. If you enjoy the music that we do here on Sundays, the Spotify app is a great way to be able to learn the music and celebrate the songs that we do on Sunday mornings. And so the instructions about how to download the app and how to use it are right there in your notes at the top. One of the things that's near and dear to my heart, because I did youth ministry for so many years, is junior high and high school ministry. And so Ignite, which is our junior high program, and Amplify, which is our high school ministry, one of the reasons that it's been an unprecedented amount of growth in both of those ministries. And a big part of that is the staff that works with Corbett. So many faithful people that show up and help make it what it is and meet with the kids outside of just what they do weekly. If you live in Tahoe, it's a no-brainer to be able to like get out and enjoy outdoors. And the last couple of years, they've done these great backpack trips. So I especially, because of all the things that happened and all the opportunities these kids get, I want to thank the youth staff, because there's a whole bunch of you that are invested in these kids' lives to help make this youth program what it is that we all enjoy. All right. So one last thing I want to highlight before I share just two things with you. One is our women's ministry does a whole bunch of cool events here. Their spring luncheon was awesome, but they had like 150 women show up for their Christmas event here. And just like I was talking about, the junior high and high school ministry is what it is, not just because of the leader, but because of the support staff. Our women's ministry is the same thing. A whole bunch of faithful, hardworking women in here that help make this ministry what it is. So wherever you volunteer, whatever part you play, from the Good News Clubs, the junior high, high school, children's ministry, the nursery, thank you all for your investment in doing the things. We couldn't do these things. These things would not be what they are without the volunteer hours that people put into them. So in past years, what I've done is I've said, okay, so here's the things that our church has done, but I also try to like incorporate a little bit of like, what's happened in the last year in the United States, in North America, and around the world? And this year, I want to do something just a little bit different to close with you. So a lot of people made a big deal in the last couple of weeks about how this is like the end of the decade. And talked about how life has changed in the last 10 years. I think one of the things that we're just so unaware of in most of our lives is how we become the people that we are, how our relationships are the way they are. Because it's sort of like the frog in the kettle thing where the frog dies and boils in the water because he's just unaware of the water heating up slowly but surely. And I think a lot of times we're not good at taking stock of how we got to where we are, because it tends to happen very slowly in our lives. And I just took one area that I want you to see how it has shaped and changed our world. Every single person in here. Even if you're older, and maybe you say, these things don't apply to me so much, you have kids and grandkids that I promise you, every one of you would say, I get it. I see why this stuff is important. See, the choices, conscious and unconscious, that you make throughout the year help set you on a trajectory to who you will become. And just like Ferris Bueller said, my generation, if you don't stop and slow down every once in a while, life will pass you by. And so in your notes in here, I think one of the things I want you to consider is, inevitably, if you look back over who you become, you notice there's things that you probably go, I really ought to cut this out. Or, you know what, I've been headlong plunged in this direction, and maybe it would be good for me to slow down just a little bit before I plunge, keep going in the same direction. And so in your notes in there, there's a blank spot in there for you to spend some time thinking about this. And the only way you'll have a good answer to this is if you spend time thinking about it, and especially asking your friends that know you and love you and that you trust to speak into your life to help you think about this. Because it does happen, and it does happen slowly. You have to stop and take stock, or you'll miss the opportunity that God wants you to take to be able to slow down and change. That's why life, Corbett talked about this earlier, life is supposed to be seasons. It's supposed to be a rhythm of really hard working and slowing down and enjoying. Most of us are just headlong, go, 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 and never slowing down and enjoying, never slowing down and really reflecting. So I want you to consider how much things have changed in 10 years, just in this one area. I'm just going to use technology just to help you think about this, okay? This is all stuff you know. Anybody been to a Blockbuster lately? 2010, Blockbuster went bankrupt. Right? And in fact, they filed early because they recognized there used to be a Blockbuster over by the Y, and I can't remember who's in there now, you know, Grassroots or somebody, right? But like, they saw it coming. Technology changed the way people watched and took in media, especially movies. Everything changed because of streaming and being able to buy movies. It used to be in 2008 that 50% of the population that watched whatever the hit movie was, 50% of the people watched it in a movie theater, 50% of the population stayed home and watched it later, DVD or whatever. Today, for every one person, there are eight people that go to the movie. So for every one person that goes to see the movie in the movie theater, there are eight people now that would rather buy it later and watch it at home. Because it's so easy and cheap to do. Not just for you. Think about how much money it costs for you and your friends or your family to go watch a movie. It's so much cheaper to buy a movie and stream it online, and everybody wants to watch it. You've got these great TVs at home now. So people have surround sound. Why go to a movie theater anymore? Right? If you could go back to 2005 and say, Blockbuster's going to be gone. You stand on the corner and go, Blockbuster's going to be gone in 5 years. People would have thought, you're crazy. What do you mean? Technology has changed so much of our lives. So another way to think about this is, how do you find out about news, right? The Pew Research says that 55% of people nowadays are likely to find it via not news sites, but social media, Facebook and stuff like that is how people are finding news these days. Number three, people, this is the one that's probably most disturbing to me, is in a technology age, information actually doesn't matter anymore. honestly, think about this. Why go to college, seminary, get your master's or doctorate? Because you can get online, via podcast, via free things, you can get the best of the best, sharpest, most cutting edge thinkers, teachers online today. And it's a huge mess for colleges trying to figure out what do we have to offer kids when they can get better professors online for free or next to nothing. See, information is so cheap today. It's a click away. So why learn? Why memorize anything anymore? I see this with my kids all the time. They pick up their phone. Hey, Siri. That's how they get the answers to everything in life. Information, in the information age, actually, rather than information being more valuable, it's cheaper now. And it's affected so many ways that we interact with knowledge. Everybody knows this, especially if you're a grandparent or a parent. You see this with your kids. They text now way more than they talk, right? Look at that last sentence up there. A 2014 Gallup poll found that text messages outrank phone calls as the main means of communication. Not for people under 25, for people under 50 years old. It won't be long before we go, email is what? Email will be like your old dial-up telephone. It's already becoming that way very quickly. If you could go back 10 years ago, it would be so hard to believe that these sort of things would all be true. Couples meet through apps online all the time. So I'll tell you this quick story. So when I was in Monterey, so this is going back like 18 years ago. So there's this military installation up on the hill called Defense Language Institute, DLI. And it's where the best of the best for all the militaries, they send their kids to learn foreign languages. It's crash course. Smartest of the smart kids go there. So this kid comes down, and he's like 19 years old, and he goes, hey, I'm getting ready to get processed out of here and go overseas, and because I want to make sure that if something happens to me, I want to make sure my wife gets the military benefits, so can you do our marriage? So I go, you know, if you're willing to sit down and do some marriage counseling with us, we'll do it. So they're like, yeah, my wife's going to be here. She's coming in from overseas. Oh, really? What's your wife doing overseas? Well, she lives in Germany. Really? How did you guys meet? We met online playing first-person shooter games. This is 18 years ago. That was the first time I ever did a marriage like that. I was like, what a weird way for people today. More than half the people are getting married today. And in urban areas, it's 2/3 of people. This is how they find the person that they end up living with or the person they end up married to. Crazy, right? See if it works any better for them. People are basically junkies online. The average smartphone user checks Facebook 14 times. Now, what if you out here go, that's not me, I don't look at Facebook. For every person that doesn't, what does that tell you about someone who does to make that the average of 14 times? And that's just one social media platform between Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, various message apps and games. People are glued to their phones. In fact, people are expected to spend more time online watching video, shopping, and browsing through Facebook than watching TV this year. Is any of this news to you? Not really, but it is news to you. If I went back 10 years ago and I said, this will be the reality in just 10 years from now. And the reason I say this is your life, because of small choices, conscious and unconscious, that you make, you're setting yourself on a course that it very well may be hard for you to believe where you're going to end up in 10 years. That's why it's worth taking opportunities during the year to stop, take stock of, what am I doing with my life? What am I invested in? Where is this going to lead me? There's one last quote here from this great book that came out earlier this year from John Mark Comer called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. He quotes Corrie Ten Boom early on, and he says, Corrie Ten Boom once said that the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. And he says, there's truth to that. Sorry, spelling error in there. Both sin and busyness have the exact same effect. They cut off your own connection to God, to other people, and even to your own soul. We're busy people. And it sucks the life out of our ability to be able to connect with God deeply, other people deeply, and to even be aware of what's going on in our own hearts and soul. We say yes to so many things. That's so important to learn to say no to some things and create space in your time. Look, it's not that technology is evil. It's really not. It's just that we tend to not be really judicious in our use of it. So having said that, I want to encourage you that it's worth taking time to think about what you can stop or slow down with. But I want you to think about this next year, making a commitment to renewing your commitment to keeping God's word at the center of what you're doing. So Corbett talked about in our message foundations, talking about God's word and the central part that it plays and the authority it plays in our life. Our very first core value at our church is this. We have an unyielding commitment to the authority and sufficiency of the Bible. It's the final and complete revelation for teaching and instruction on life, living, and what it means to follow God. He did a good job unpacking what that looks like. Talking even about like a good resource for your kids at home. The Jesus Storybook by Sally Lloyd-Jones is absolutely amazing. If you don't have it, especially if you have kids at home, it's a fantastic resource. He answered this great question. How did we get the Bible that we have today? See, all of this stuff is online for you to go back and revisit and recapture for yourselves. He asked this great question. He said, why should I bother reading the Bible? And he said, reading the Bible, it's how we learn to know God truly and how to love Him more deeply and be committed to Him. In an information age where information really is cheap, the one thing that you ought to all be students and dedicated to spending time every day in is this marvelous gift that God gave us in His Word. So New Year's resolutions tend to be cheap, right? I mean, everybody knows this. You're going to go to the gym over the next couple of weeks and it's you can't even get in the front door, you know, until the 6th or 7th of January, then nobody comes anymore, right? But New Year's resolutions tend to be cheap, but I've showed you this stat in the past about how few people actually, like, really have a commitment to living, soaking in God's truth all the time, every day. So important. I want to encourage you. Some of you are going to make resolutions. Some of you are like, forget it. But one of the things we've constantly pushed you back to is to make God's word a more fundamental part of what you're doing in your life. So two things I want to encourage you to consider doing. And both of these are in your notes here. So you can learn how to take these things home with you. And if you're going to use technology, this is a good way to use technology. There's this great app called Read Scripture. And it'll do one of two things for you. You download it onto your smartphone, your tablet, whatever. It'll allow you to read through the Bible in a year. And in the settings, it'll even let you set an alarm each day to help remind you. It helps guide you through what to read. And it'll help you read through the entire Bible in a year. The other thing that's so good about it is, if you like the Bible Project videos, embedded in the app are the Bible Project videos. And whenever one comes up that relates to the passage that you're reading, you can watch it right there. And it's a great way to spend time in God's Word and to learn in greater depth about it. If you don't want to read every single day, if that's too big a burden for you, you just want to read at your own pace, you can set in the settings, read at my own pace, and you can set how you want to do that. It's really fantastic. And so the information for that is in your notes, in your bulletin. The second thing I want to encourage you to do is, Dan was talking about this back in November with me. He said, Noah, a lot of people just, they have a hard time reading, especially reading the Bible every day. So he said, how could we help people take advantage of the Bible Project apps? So the videos. So we put together a way that you can watch all 66 books of the Bible in a year. And here's how.
All right, I just want to take a minute and show you how you can use your web browser to watch the Bible in a year. So you type in sierra.church in your web browser, and you scroll down to this slider, and we're using the Bible Project videos to help you watch the Bible in a year. You click on this button right here, it'll take you to the page. The other way to get to the web page is if you go up into our menu, you can see you can click on this link right here. So when you click on this button, this is the page that will come up. And you can see what we did here is, so there are 66 books in your Bible, but there's only 52 weeks in the year, so we had to do a little mix and match. And so for the first full week of the year, that's the week of January 5th, you're going to be watching the book of Genesis. And so Genesis is a longer book, so you can see they broke it down into two parts. And so most of the weeks you'll watch two videos. The one exception is this very first week. I put this bonus video in here for you. It's an overview of the Old Testament, and it's really good, and it'll just help you get oriented for your journey through the Old Testament. So you get down to week number two, the week of January 12th, and this is the book of Exodus, and it's, again, it's a two-parter. And so these videos are all between like 5 and 8 minutes long, so you'll never be watching more than, you know, it's always be less than 20 minutes in any 1 week. The third week, just one book for you to watch, Leviticus. And so that's how it goes all the way down through your Old Testament till you get like to the Minor Prophets. And when you get down to the Minor Prophets, you can see a lot of those are shorter books. We put two of those in there again, like Joel and Amos. And if you make it all the way through the Old Testament, you'll get down to the New Testament on week number 31. And so I start you off just by watching an overview of the New Testament, again, to help you just get oriented to where you're going to be doing your journey of the New Testament. The book of Matthew, it's a little bit longer book, broken up into two parts again. And after that comes the book of Mark. So that's just one video that week for you to watch, all the way down through to the very last book of our Bible, which is Revelation. One of the things that's really nice about this is you can see in here this little red button. So whenever you click that, it'll just play right in your web browser. The video will show up right there for you. So that's
the revelation
kind of, a nice
of Jesus thing. Given to John the prophet.
So I pause it here, and so you can see, I don't have, what's that, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey? You don't want to watch that. Okay, so you click here, you go to YouTube, and that'll take you to YouTube's web, the Bible Project's webpage, YouTube webpage, or you click here, and this will just take you to like a full screen, and you can watch it.
In the first video, we explored how John composed this apocalyptic.
You can watch these videos in full screen right there on your webpage, so. All right, so I hope this just really proves to be a good tool to help you learn more about the Bible and to allow it to have a bigger impact on your life.
All right, like 80 slides in 52 minutes. Thanks, guys, for bearing with me through all that. I hope you can take advantage of some of those resources. God bless you guys, and thank you for your faithfulness that allows us to do all the things that we get to do. God, thanks so much for the privilege we have of being able to get together. Father, help us to spend some time over the next couple of days taking stock of where we're going with our lives, what kind of time commitments we have. Give us the courage to be able to make adjustments where we need to. Lord, help us to go forward in this next year with a commitment to make you an ever more central part of how we live and think. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.